Special Easter greetings to all of you who have chosen to worship in this way, a together worship of Bosque Del Baptist Church members and friends. Yet, for this time, a necessarily different kind of worship, in spirit close with one another, but physically apart because of the health and welfare concerns for each other. Audible but not visible with each other. A specialized worship for Easter of April 12, 2020. And I believe we are all saying to one another, God bless you today. He is alive. A special thanks to several for helping to put this together and present it on our Bosque Del website. To Darwin Stearns for preparing this for audio streaming. That you receive by way of the website and an MP3 player. To my son Josh for doing the original recording to send to Darwin for his magic conversion of the sounds. To Laura Leip for her worship leadership in Hymn Choices, and that's weekly. To Sue and Josh for being the Combs family trio before, and very honestly, we did not do that for this particular worship because we didn't want to compete with a special worship that I'm going to talk about in a minute. We always hope that you're singing these hymns that we'll present, and you can do that at any time. And to all of you, several of whom have indicated that you're joining over the internet. You're joining with all the others who are participating in this different way to conduct worship at this time. Our sense of togetherness means so much for a fellowship of believers. There is a special edition for our worship this Easter that I just mentioned. You may have discovered it as you signed in to the Bosque Del website. You will see there on the homepage a separate link that indicates a Bosque Del Choir presentation of an Easter special, Because He Lives. This was our Easter music presentation at the church on March 31st, 2013. And we were able to have a choir at that time with Laura Leip as our worship leader. You'll be, I believe, overjoyed to hear Ellen Thomas as the featured soloist, and real special, the narration by our beloved Bob Hancock. And that's a separate 30-minute presentation that you can listen to on the website at any time. For right now, I invite you to join our hearts and spirits together for a time of special worship. I invite you to get your Bible. Our scripture focus for today is 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 5, and then verses 12 through 20. And we'll get to that shortly. Our hymns will be He Lives and Because He Lives. And that one, you will probably notice, is the title and the theme of the Easter music of 2013, also on this website for today, but different from the hymn words that we'll be using as we repeat them in our worship. As always, our Bosque Del worship includes the welcoming of guests, prayers, worship with our tithes to honor God and His church, hymns, and a sermon message inspired and led by the Holy Spirit. We begin with a special welcome to all, members and guests, with thanksgiving for your joining together in this worship. A warm welcome. Now, join your spirit with me as we invoke God's presence with us with our invocation. Gracious and loving Father, we join together in asking for your blessing and with our thanks that we are always aware that you are here with us. May our thoughts and desires be focused now solely upon you and your majesty and mercy that is always filling our lives. Bless us as we worship, and strengthen our lives in you. We ask that your Holy Spirit alone be our guide for this time. In our resurrected Christ's holy name, we pray together. Amen. I invite you now to join hearts as we pray for one another and for our world. And this is our prayer. Father God, above all and first, we praise your holy name. You were before anything. You are now, and you are going to be forever. We come, all of your people, with grateful thanks for all you have created for your pleasure and for our good. This is a special day for us as Christians, one day of each year when we bask in the glory of the completion of your plan of salvation for humanity. The visible, the obvious for the awakened world to see, once for all time resurrection to eternal life of your Son, who had chosen to give his life so that our sin debt could be completely paid. His resurrection to life is the key that has unlocked the possibility of eternal life to any who truly believe he is your Son and is our Lord and Savior. Accept our thanks always, but in very special ways on this glorious Easter Sunday. Now our prayers turn to petition. For your Son promised to us, "Ask anything of my Father in my name, and you shall receive it." We understand, Father, what it means to ask in Jesus' name, that what we ask will be within the scope of his perfect will. In that spirit, Father, we ask for your rich blessing on our church and our fellow Christians around the world. We ask your blessing on many of our own, knowing they are in our thoughts and that we cannot name them all. We request for your blessing these who represent the desire of our hearts for many you know are on our minds. The Sanders household, including the two great-grandchildren celebrating their first birthdays this month, and also Nora Lee and Darwin's brother-in-law, Joe, all a part of the Sanders household. Effie Brimmer's household and her grandchildren and their children, her great-grandchildren, and especially daughter Patty, and all that she awaits in her coming surgery next month. Ellen and Bob Thomas, with her continuing times of healing, and for her mother and brother, quickly, Father, you know the full names, who these are. We'll say them quickly. Sue, Harold, Terry, Milton, Corinne, Sheridan, Marianne, David, Nancy, Mary, Loretta, Leela, Stanley, and more, Father. And special prayers for all being affected by this worldwide epidemic of a deadly virus and the precautions it has caused, for the caretaking workers who have given so unselfishly, medical, emergency persons, military, political leaders, and your help and aid to the many we're praying for who are economically injured. Fathers, there's just so much on our minds to pray for, and you know all that is on our hearts. Thank you for loving us and watching over us. And on this special Freedom from Sin Day, yes, that's what the death followed by the resurrection of our Lord Christ means to us today. Freedom from the curse of sin. We come to you now for your honor and glory, and in your resurrected Son's name, amen. It would be time now for our praise and music. We usually sing one hymn before the worship of the taking of our tithes and offerings, and one after. Since the only mode of offerings available to us is now by mail, we will sing, when we can, these two hymns in succession. And I invite you to sing these hymns whenever you can. Here's the first verse of the first one, "Because He Lives." God sent his Son, they called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. And, you know, the chorus goes, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. And life is worth the living just because he lives. You know, an empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. That's what Easter celebrates. That's today. The second hymn is one I think you almost have to sing on Easter. I believe I have almost every Easter. And you know this one well, and I'll suggest singing two verses of this one, because the last verse, along with the chorus each time, affirms the story. The hymn is Christ Arose. You know that one, Up from the Grave He Arose. So here are the words. You know them. Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus my Lord. And then there's the rousing chorus, Up from the grave he arose, you know, with the mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose the victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. And then the next verse, this is actually verse number 3. Death, but it speaks to today. Death cannot keep his prey, Jesus my Savior. He tore the bars away, Jesus my Lord. And then the chorus again, Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose the victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. And I'll suggest that you sing those two whenever you can. And I am sorry to report that the Combs Family Trio was not able to sing these at this time, but partly that was because we didn't want to compete with the separate feature of today, the cantata, the Easter cantata, because he lives. So now I invite you to join our hearts together in our thoughts and our minds as we go to the worship of the message I believe God's Spirit has laid on my heart for this Easter Sunday of 2020, April the 12th. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Bible, the Holy Word. And we will start this message, titled Because He Lives, by the reading of God's Word from Paul's first letter to the Corinthian church, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 5, and then verses 12 through 20. This is Easter Sunday. Lent is finished. 1 Corinthians 15, 1. Now, I make known to you, brethren, and by the way, this is reading from the New American Standard Bible, NASB. Now, I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast to the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, as of first importance, what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. And then going down to verse 12. Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. Your faith also is in vain. Moreover, we are found to be false witnesses of God, because we testified concerning God that he raised the Messiah Christ, whom he did not raise, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. Verse 20, but now Christ has been raised from the dead, the firstfruits of those who are asleep. And may God bless our reading of His Word and also bless our hearing of it. Well, this is probably the most different Easter Sunday any of us have ever experienced. But we are here to worship, together but apart, probably not even all at the same time because this is on the internet and you can join this any time of your choosing on this Easter or even a day beyond. But all of us will be worshiping together in heart and spirit. We're all on the same page. Thank you for choosing to join me as you have. And as you have, be assured that you're indeed joining together with your church family, with and in spirit, with all of God's children who are worshiping at Easter time, because He lives. And I would say this, which you know and feel, much of the world is apprehensive, anxious, and even in turmoil. But we who are committed Christians are none of those, because He lives. I hope for all of you listening right now that you also have gotten to already or are planning to soon that you get to hear the choir special recorded back in 2013, that beautiful Because He Lives. And I'll invite you, all who are listening now, to say together what we feel so richly right now. Thank you, God, for your love and your mercy and your grace. Say that from your heart with me. Thank you, God, for your love and mercy and grace. Consider this right now. If Jesus had not conquered death in the grave, actually notice that I said if Jesus had not, but I believe has not is more accurate because well, that carries a meaning more of the feeling of the present, even now, not the past, like had. So let me start this again. If Jesus has not conquered death and the grave, then we would not be worshiping together today. That's what the great Apostle Paul had written to the church at Corinth, our scripture for today. His compelling, what I call negative to positive affirmation. He says it so well in an extensive negative argument, verse 1 all the way down to verse 19. Verse 19, if we had hoped in Christ in this life only, you know, that means no resurrection, we are of all men most to be pitied. And then going to the positive and one hard-hitting sentence, verse 20, he says, but now Christ has been raised from the dead, the firstfruits of those who are asleep. In other words, those who are asleep are also going to be raised from the dead even as we are. Exactly that is what we are all celebrating, what He has done. He has conquered death and the grave. Way back 2,000 years ago when He arose to conquer death and the grave for then, for now, and forever. He is alive. Because He lives. Christianity is the faith that claims a living founder, still living. Jesus Christ's disciples, His followers, Christians of today, come together for Bible study and prayer and worship regularly to experience His living presence in their midst, in our midst. In the 18th chapter of Matthew, Jesus was speaking with His disciples in several ways about the necessity and the fellowship of believers. And in verse 20, He says, where two or three have gathered together in My name, I am there in their midst. It's Matthew 18:20. Christianity is not just good advice. It is good news from a special empty ancient gravesite just outside the walls of the holy city, Jerusalem. It is the gospel, good news about God and His only Son, good news for sinners for all time and for everywhere. To miss this point, an ancient, miraculous, empty grave is to miss the heart of the gospel good news. The resurrection of Jesus Christ not only makes possible our great salvation, but it also makes salvation certain, as the scriptures tell us in many places, such as Hebrews 7:25. And I'm reading this from our old standby, the King James Version. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Okay, I admit that's one of those places where the King James language tests our understanding. So let me read it in a couple of helpful modern versions, more in today's language. The Good News translation has it this way. He is able, now and always, to save those who come to God through him, because he lives forever to plead with God for them. And the J.B. Phillips interpretation says this. It has a beautiful paraphrase. It says, this means that he can save fully and completely those who approach God through him, for he is always living to intercede on their behalf. These inspired words affirm both the ability and the determination of the living Christ to fully, lovingly save those who come to God by him. And this possibility is based solidly on the fact of his once and for all conquest of sin, death, and the grave. He will abide. That is, he lives forever in heaven as our living high priest, pleading on our behalf in the presence of the Father, and that he will do until his promised second coming. Robert G. Lee, a very beloved former pastor of a Baptist church in Memphis, Tennessee, preached a famous sermon he called The World's Blackest Assumption. This black assumption, that Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, was illustrated in 7 points by Dr. Lee, taking this from Paul's epistle to the believers at Corinth. And these are all based on if Jesus is not risen. That is, assuming the resurrection really didn't take place. Well, there's assumption number one. If Jesus Christ is not risen, the church has no message for a lost world. Assumption number two. If Jesus Christ is not risen, Christians have nothing to believe in. And you get that in verse 14 of the scripture we read. If Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. Your faith also is in vain. We have nothing to believe in. Assumption number three. If Jesus Christ is not risen, the apostles and all subsequent preachers have misrepresented God as having raised Jesus Christ. This is verse 15. We are even found to be false witnesses of God because we testified concerning God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if in fact the dead are not raised. Assumption number four. If Jesus Christ is not risen, your faith is an empty, worthless shell. Verse 17. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. Did you ever pick up a pecan or a hickory nut thinking that it'll be filled with delicious nut meat, only to find that it was an empty shell? Well, that's kind of a picture of your faith, if Jesus Christ is not risen. Assumption number five. If Jesus Christ is not risen, you are still guilty and under the condemnation that results from sin. Assumption number six. If Jesus Christ is not risen, Those believers who died with faith in Jesus Christ are going to be perished. Verse 18, those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. They're gone forever. And we are but whistling in the dark. That is, if Jesus Christ is not risen. And assumption number 7, if Jesus Christ is not risen, we are very sad creatures because we have built our lives on an illusion. Well, thank God that the world's 7-part blackest assumption is an absolute falsehood, because in fact, Jesus Christ is gloriously risen from the dead. The empty tomb declared to Jesus' disciples, to the Jewish leaders, and to the Roman authorities that something had happened, and that something was, something had happened to the body that had been buried there and had been guarded by Roman soldiers. Now, it was the repeated appearances of the risen Christ that completely transformed the downcast hearts and lives of the apostles. They became flaming evangelists of the good news, that the penalty of sin had been paid, that death had been conquered, and Jesus Christ is alive. The risen Christ appeared to his disciples at least 10 different recorded times. The thrilling truth of his resurrection gave them a message of hope for a world that was facing despair. Like the sharp and shrill notes of 1,000 silver trumpets, the apostles went out to proclaim that Jesus Christ is alive. This was no figment of their imagination. This was no illusion under which they labored. This was no mirage for which they had died, many by martyrs' cruel deaths. The resurrection indicates Jesus of Nazareth as God's unique Son. Romans 1:4 says, through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Before his resurrection, the apostles believed Jesus to be the Son of God. That is, they thought so, but obviously had times they were unsure of it. Well, such as Peter by the fire pit on the night of Jesus' trial. But following his resurrection and many appearances to them, they knew he was the Son of God, to the extent that they put their lives on the line to tell others of his saving grace. Jesus' resurrection proved that his crucified death was a miraculous sign and revelation of God's divine love for sinners. When Jesus was crucified, the frightened-to-death apostles, not even appearing at the scene of the cross, except for John, who was there to comfort Mary, the rest of them considered it a personal catastrophe. For their leader, Peter, it was a public disgrace. For all of them, it was a tragic political disappointment because they, like so many, believed Jesus had come to set up a mighty kingdom. So it was that only through the doorway of an empty tomb from which Jesus had been raised could God reveal that his Son's death on the cross was the great revelation of his great, great love for sinners. Christ's death by crucifixion demonstrated then and demonstrates now to all believers God's boundless love for unworthy sinners. This love is not something we can buy or earn. It was and is God's free gift. So many people desperately need to be told about the greatness of this love. But the resurrection enabled Jesus to intercede for us in God's presence. The beloved Apostle John mentioned this fact when he wrote in his first epistle, 1 John, chapter 2, he wrote to encourage his spiritual children to avoid living in sin. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. And the author of Hebrews wrote of Christ as a mediator who acts on our behalf, and that's in Hebrews 9:24. And the Hebrews writer further asserts that Christ has offered himself and continues to offer his sacrificial death as an atonement for the sins of those who accept him as Lord and Savior. That's in Hebrews 10, verses 10 through 14. A little long, so I won't read that one. It is by Christ's victorious resurrection from the dead that his ministry of intercession is made possible. He is able to be our Savior from the penalty of sin, from the practices of sin, and eventually from the very presence of sin, because he is the living and still working for us Savior. The resurrection gave believers a living Lord and a companion for the road of life. Jesus is so much more than an inspirational memory of one who lived in the past. In the 40 days between his resurrection and his ascension, he gave the disciples many indisputable proofs that he had conquered death in the grave. The third verse of the first chapter of the historical book of the Acts says, "After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God." And he repeatedly encouraged them to wait for a precious gift from the Father God, following that verse 3 with verses 4 and 5. "On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, 'Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.'" And in the Gospel of the Spirit, as the Gospel of John has sometimes been called, John had promised in John 14, at a time when his disciple, Jesus had promised in John 14, at a time when his disciples could not fully understand his words, he said, "I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you." And he was going to fulfill this promise shortly after his ascension, on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit, God, Jesus, would come to reside in the church. You know, with Peter, we should hear Jesus saying, "Follow me." With the disciples who were present on the mountaintop as Jesus was getting ready to go to heaven, we should hear Jesus giving a divine mandate. He commanded them to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. That's Matthew 28:19-20. And we should hear Jesus make a promise to those who give themselves in obedience to his command. His promise was for his abiding presence, saying, "Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." And that's the end of verse 20 of Matthew 28. Now, at the end of a sermon, it's a good idea to come to a conclusion, you know, to tie up all the several ends to draw a truth of God. And here it is for today, for this special Sunday, Easter. Jesus Christ is gloriously alive. Saved or unsaved, he is once again standing at your heart's door, eager to bring God's blessing into your life, as we are so fortunate to read in Revelation 3:20. "Behold, I stand at the door and I'm knocking. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will go in with him and will dine with him and he with me." Resurrected Jesus is always there, knocking, calling out to you. Let him come in. Let him dine with you to restore your soul, and then go with you along the pathways of your life. walk side by side with Jesus as he leads you in meaningful living and significant service. Jesus Christ is alive. Say hallelujah with me. Hallelujah. How much more blessed could your Easter be? Jesus Christ's resurrection day for you, and for me, for any of us. Jesus Christ is alive. He is alive. Now, when our governing powers, who really do want to safeguard and protect us, will once again give us the green light to go out of our houses, when they do that, go into all the world and teach the world all that Christ has commanded us. He has told us, lo, I am with you always. And Bosque Dell, our closing benediction is, and I'll ask you to say it with me, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. And amen. A blessed Easter to all from Jesus Christ, our resurrected Lord.